This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of seven things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. Well, on the show today, we have Nicole Ratner. Nicole is what they call an accidental landlord, meaning that she didn't plan to own rental properties. It just kind of happened. Her story is that in her late 20s, she bought a condo that was perfect at the time, but then life changed. She met a guy, she got married, and then all of a sudden, the condo wasn't so perfect anymore. And I think a lot of people are in a very similar situation today, and I think we can probably learn a lot from Nicole. So Nicole, before we hear your story, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and how you got here?
So my name's Nicole, and I am an executive. I am a wife. I am a mom to two beautiful girls and also a landlord.
Okay, so tell me about your condo. So how long were you living in the condo for?
For about a year, and then life happened, and I met my soon-to-be fiancé husband and moved in with him.
When it came time to move out, why did you decide to rent the property out and not just sell it?
So I'm not sure that sale was even a thought in my mind, but I did know that when I first bought the property, I locked in at a great rate at the time for an interest only. You know, I wasn't making a lot of money. I wasn't one of those people who had that 6 month savings that they always talk about on hand. And so when I had moved out at that point, I was a little underwater and I would have had to have gone to closing with money on the table.
Okay.
And it was just money I didn't have.
So you decide to rent it out. So were you able to rent it out and cover your mortgage?
So we were very lucky and able to find a renter fairly quickly, probably within about 2 months or so.
Okay.
But we have never been able to cover the full mortgage. Yeah.
Okay. So you're taking a little bit of a loss, but that's better than selling the house outright and taking a bigger loss. So I guess that's not all bad. So why don't you take me back and tell me how you found your first renter?
So I did it through Craigslist.
Okay.
I wanted to do the easiest method possible. I spoke also to my realtor at the time, and she did recommend trying to do it on your own if you could, because it would have saved money. So
sure.
I did the Craigslist route and got somebody fairly quickly.
Okay. Did you have just one person apply, or did you get a bunch of applicants off Craigslist?
I think I got just the one.
So when the person applies, so what did you do? Did you run their credit? Did you check their work history? Like what was kind of your process?
So I worked at the time with my real estate agent. I went straight to who I thought would have the information, and she actually offered for a nominal fee to give me an application to run the credit check and to do a lease if, you know, was necessary.
Awesome. Okay.
Which was great. So for
yeah.
a very minimal fee, I was able to just hand the paperwork over, have her fill it out. And the renter was very honest with me because she did say that she did not have good credit. And that was part of why she was having issues finding a place to live.
And so did you check her previous landlord?
I did. I checked that. I did check her work, you know, that she was gainfully employed, and, you know, did check the credit. And I, you know, the credit was definitely low.
Yeah.
But I don't think that concerned me as much because I was in college at one point myself and probably didn't have the best credit.
Sure.
Either.
And I guess, you know, a lot of times if they're paying their rent, that's almost a better indicator than the credit. So the landlord, the old landlord said, hey, she's a good tenant. She paid her rent. And that was enough for you to take a chance on her?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I was very smart about making sure that I worked with my tenant. So her pay periods, for example, were different than somebody who might get paid on the, you know, 1st and 15th of the month. So we worked it out that her due date for the rent was due around a specific time that she would be paid. And we also locked in a pretty ironclad late policy. Which, you know, she did pay several times because she was, you know, a day or two you know, late, but was always on time with the payment, and it always got to us.
How much of a late fee did you charge?
We charged $100.
That's good. So she was a couple days late, and you make an extra $100. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
If she told me, look, I'm not going to be able to have it in time XYZ. Well, then most of the time we were like, that's okay. We understand. That's not a problem.
So then she was with you for how long?
She was with us for about 5 years.
That's great. That's a really good tenant. Okay. And she just recently left, right?
She did, just this past spring.
And so after 5 years, was there any damage to the house, or did you have to fix it up a lot?
She, during her stay, she was great. She was one of those very quiet tenants. I would check in with her on occasion. No major issues. I'd go over just to sign a new addendum for a new year for the lease. The walkthrough at the end, though, was the biggest surprise for us, because we went in the week before our second daughter was born. So, of course, the timing of everything already was not good for
right.
us. Losing a renter, having a new child.
Yeah, that's a lot going on.
It's very yeah. stressful. So we went in and, my husband and my daughter, I have two daughters. So my older daughter was with me, my husband, and, the walkthrough was going well. She had already turned off the electric. And I did know that she had been out of the unit for several weeks leading up to this walkthrough, because she was slowly moving back home. She had a loss of employment.
Okay.
And so when we walked in, everything seemed to be okay until my husband got into the kitchen and noticed that there was water on the floor. And we noticed some of the carpeting next to the kitchen area too seemed like it was wet. Like you could just tell it was like that soppy dampness. And so upon further inspection, when he opened underneath the sink area, we noticed a ton. And when I say a ton, I'm underestimating, a ton of black mold in the
air. Oh, no.
So we mentioned it to her to say, hey, you know, what is this? And she kind of feigned that she didn't know. I pressed a little bit as to, you know, this is not something that you would not notice, especially moving out, because you had items in the kitchen, you had to move it out.
It seemed like it had been there for a while, right? I mean, that's not the kind of thing that just appears one day.
This had to have been, and I'm not an expert, but upon looking at it the first time, I mean, this had to have been happening for at least a month, if not more.
Mm, wow.
And the only thing she referenced was mentioning to me low water pressure, which is funny, because I will say, as a landlord, and no matter what you have going on, you always keep all your correspondence. You keep those sent messages. You keep the ones you get. She mentioned a low water pressure in April of 2012. So we had already gone down that path, and we had contacted a water company. Like, there were no issues. But water pressure versus water leaking, two completely different
Totally.
Things.
Yeah. So what happened? So did you have to get someone in there to look at the mold and get rid of it?
So first and foremost, I mean, my husband, we had to get me out of there, because that could have been dangerous with a 3-year-old and being pregnant.
Yeah.
So.
And she wasn't having any kind of health problems or any issues with being exposed to the mold.
And that kind of leads me to believe that maybe she thinks she thought she did something herself. But, you know, it's so funny, because when you're a renter, it's the best, right? Because call us, call your landlord. Like, they're going to take care of the problem.
Right. You don't have to worry about anything.
Right. So we left. My husband went back later that day and cut the water. And when he cut the water, we went back again then, like a day or two later, and realized that it was still happening. So we knew right then that it wasn't anything coming from our appliances in that kitchen area. So we called a couple people to come in. And I called my insurance right away. And I will say, it's key to have a landlord policy, and it's key to have a good insurance company that's going to tell you either, yes, we need to file a claim, or here's what I recommend you do first before
right.
we go down the path of filing
right.
a claim. And that's what my company did. And I reached out to HOA. I am probably one of the luckiest landlords out there, because after further inspection, it turned out to be a structural issue inside the wall.
So that's not your responsibility. That's going to be on the HOA, right?
That is going to be on the HOA. Certain things, if you know, if we needed to replace appliances, typically that is something that the landlord would cover, which to me, I could care less about a $500 appliance. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking, I mean, when we left that day of the walkthrough, my husband and I seriously thought we were going to be looking at $15,000 to $20,000.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that mold is serious stuff. Yeah, that's that can be a real pain to get rid of. Yeah. So the HOA dealt with everything. They got rid of it, repaired whatever damage needed to be fixed.
So they have. I will say that has probably been the most difficult process because it's not easy working with HOAs. And they've not been very forthcoming with me to tell me what's been going on. But the company that they worked with was amazing. And so they kept me posted the entire time. They, you know, what ended up happening was they redid most of all the drywall. They obviously did all the mold remediation and everything's been cleared and everything's fine. It actually was a pipe that, believe it or not, wasn't connected. So the sewage from upper, because I'm on a ground level, was draining down to the ground level. So
Oh my God.
Fixed it all. They cleaned and did all of everything necessary for all of the appliances except the dishwasher, which was not salvageable. That was replaced. I didn't have to cover that. They literally had to go all the way into my dining area and my full living area. The only two rooms that weren't touched were the bathroom and my bedroom. But everything literally from the brand new carpet to brand new paint to brand new drywall, brand new cabinetry, it was all taken care of.
You know, that seems like a horrible thing that really worked out great for you. Like, it seems like you really, like, your place is fixed up and ready to go for the next tenant.
Exactly.
That's great.
I'm counting my blessings every day on that one.
So, all right. So do you have it back on the market now?
I do. I actually, you know, so this process started at the very beginning of May. We had our daughter on May 6th. So obviously we were behind a little bit, but it was just recently finished about maybe 3 weeks ago. And I did market it again. I went straight back to Craigslist. I also this time did a little bit of crowdsourcing through friends and social media to find out, you know, what's worked for other people. And so I also did a Zillow, and I'm thinking about also doing military by owner.
So, and it's been a couple of weeks, you said?
It's been about a week.
And so have you had any interest yet?
You know, I did. I had one and I showed it earlier this week. I haven't had any follow up with them. So,
okay. And so are you going to do the same thing with your realtor where you're going to have her manage the process again this time? Or do you think you want to try it on your own?
You know, I'm going to go on my own. And that's just because obviously now we're talking, this is, you know, 6 years later, there's a wealth of information out online, mm-hmm. and our new realtor, if you will, that we've been with for the past, 5 years since selling and buying our home, recommended some great online sites. So actually I signed up for one of them, to pull up all the documents I need, for the state of Virginia, and we'll just do it ourselves this time.
Okay. Do you remember the name of the site?
So there's two of them. There are two sites, that we located. One would be landlordstation.com.
Okay.
And the other would be erenter.com.
Okay. And we'll put links to them on our show notes page. You can find that at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode11. So those sites had everything you needed, the lease, the application.
Everything. And it's great because what I did was I just paid for a full package for the state of Virginia. So I want to say it was about maybe $50. You can customize the documents to what you need, whatever's relevant, obviously comes with, you know, rental application, you name it. And then you can also do background checks and credit checks through either one of these as well. And they have different tiered pricing as to what you're looking to get. You know, if you're just looking to run something basic, it's less. If you want to run something a little bit more extensive and add on employment or you name it, then it gets a little bit pricier. But even that in of itself, I think was maybe only another, would have only been like another 30 some odd dollars.
All right. So now that you've had a taste of being a landlord for 6 years, and you know, it seems like you've been through a lot with this property. Are you happy that you did this, or do you wish you had just sold, or maybe the market had been better and you would have been able to have gotten done with this property earlier.
You know, I'm glad for the experience we had, because I think we're one of the lucky ones, because we did have a renter in for such a long period of time and she was reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for us, we were very lucky with that. So I think everything happens for a reason, and I'm okay with that.
Would you buy more properties, or you think that this is probably all you'd be interested in handling?
I think this is it for us.
Okay. All right. Well, now it is time for the lightning round. Are you ready for this?
Oh my goodness. The pressure.
The pressure is on. All right. Let's do this.
Okay.
Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round. 5 rapid fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
Okay. The first question is, what's your favorite real estate book?
Okay. It's The Automatic Millionaire Homeowner. And it's A Powerful Plan to Finish Rich in Real Estate. It's by David Bach.
Okay. Awesome book. Great. Okay. Question number 2. The number one fear that I hear from people all the time on why they don't want to own a rental property is they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that a toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten this call?
Nope. Okay. I have not.
Question number 3. If you had a property that was sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit, a spotty work history, and a spotty rental history, would you take a chance on them and rent to them, or just let the property sit?
With all of those, I would probably let the property sit.
Okay. And number 4, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
Good communication with your possible tenant, putting everything on the table.
Okay. And number 5, would you rent a property to your best friend?
Yes.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for the Rental Income Podcast. If you want to see notes or links for everything we talked about today, you can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode11. Also, make sure you get your free copy of the 7 things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties. You can find that at freelandlordgift.com. We'll be back with a new episode on Tuesday. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Dan Lane.